Johnson, this was your first debate. How did it feel?
Just like home. I didn't say which kind of home.
Do you regret waiting so long?
No, I don't think I waited too long. It seems about right to me.
That was Fred Thompson, former Tennessee senator, longtime Republican, first-time debater at yesterday's economically focused presidential debate in Dearborn, Michigan, sponsored by CNBC, MSNBC, and The Wall Street Journal. Full disclosure, I still sometimes work for MSNBC, not last night. I watched on my couch with my hummus and pita. There were 8 other candidates there, but it was Fred who was the inevitable star of the show. Reporters wondered, would he show up prepared, knowing his lines, like the good former actor he is, or would he phone it in as he has in the past? For example, when he referred to Russia as the Soviet Union recently.
He's just trying to really cement that image as Ronald Reagan Redux.
MSNBC correspondent David Schuster also watched the debate. He joins us now. Hi, David.
Allison and Lou, great to be with you.
So what did Fred Thompson accomplish yesterday, and what didn't he accomplish?
I think he accomplished that he exceeded expectations. I mean, it was so bad over the last month when he couldn't talk about Social Security, couldn't remember what the president's plan was, didn't know that there might be oil in the Everglades, didn't really remember much about Terry Schiavo. It was as if he was just on another planet the last couple of years. And so I think merely by showing up and stringing some sentences together, he exceeded expectations. The downside was that, remember, a month ago, he was supposed to sort of be the conservative savior, the Ronald Reagan type who would sweep into the field and take it by storm. And he wasn't that great last night. I mean, yeah, he strung some sentences together, but, for example, he was asked about the weak U.S. dollar and what the problems might be, and he gave an answer that sounded like it could have come out of any sort of high school economics class. So it wasn't, I mean, he's still a little bit disjointed last night, and I think that's a problem. I mean, it's become clear that he's not as on message as I think a lot of conservatives had hoped, but he's better than at least some of the stereotypes of him over the last month.
Okay, I got an email from my sister who lives in Virginia. Dr. Lisa wrote, did I hear right that Fred Thompson has George Allen as his campaign manager? What, if anything, is he thinking? The subject of this was macaca. Of course, Allen got caught in that macaca moment on tape. Thompson also has Liz Cheney around him, recently named national co-chair of his campaign. What does it say to him that he has this kind of talent around him?
Well, I think it says that Larry Craig and David Vitter weren't available. I think it's sort of the Southern strategy, I guess, that Thompson sort of, I mean, George Allen, even despite the macaca comment, I guess still has some appeal among Southern conservatives. And I guess Fred Thompson is sort of thinking, look, I could sort of cut into that same sort of thing. Allen's from Virginia, I'm from Tennessee. There are some perhaps evangelical conservatives that certainly still like George Allen, despite what he said about macaca.
Sure.
Maybe Fred Thompson can appeal the same way, although using a different set of language.
There were some other people on the stage, obviously. One exchange getting a lot of play, that Mitt Romney, Rudy Giuliani, when they went after each other about taxes. But this is an exchange I thought was interesting. It was Romney versus Ron Paul. Here's Romney answering a question about whether the president has to go to Congress to engage in military activity against Iran. You'll hear Romney, and then you'll hear Ron Paul's response.
We're going to let the lawyers sort out what he needed to do and what he didn't need to do, but certainly what you want to do is to have the agreement of all the people in leadership of our government, as well as our friends around the world.
This idea of going and talking to attorneys totally baffles me. Why don't we just open up the Constitution and read it?
That was one of the strangest, that Mitt Romney saying you're going to go to the lawyers to figure out if the president.
Yeah, and that's going to be something that I think is going to haunt him for a while. I mean, there were blast faxes and emails last night from 3 different campaigns complaining about Mitt Romney's response about going to the lawyers instead of just taking action or instead of going to Congress. And I think that's also something that could hurt Romney down the road if he becomes a nominee. That'll come back to haunt him. But on the other hand, I think it also said a little bit more about Ron Paul. I mean, Ron Paul, of course, the guy who raised $5 million in 1 week, a couple of weeks ago, he totally energizes his supporters when he talks about the Constitution, when he talks about not going to war without Congress's approval. And Ron Paul, clearly, I mean, when we were looking at the tapes last night, he had sort of the most energetic sound bites of the night. And the question is, you know, what can Ron Paul do with it other than sort of energize his own supporters?
Well, the guy has someone dressed like a piece of pizza rapping on our website about Ron Paul.
That's fantastic. Mayor Giuliani was on the stage with all the Republicans, yet he seemed to be debating someone who wasn't even there. Let's take a listen.
Hillary Clinton, that the governor mentioned, wants to put a lid on us. She wants to put a lid on our growth.
At the last Democratic debate, Hillary Clinton was asked by Tim Russert whether she agreed with my position on Iran.
There's a looming problem with Canada that you're missing. If we do Hillary care or socialized medicine, Canadians will have no place to go to get their health care.
What's with Giuliani's obsession with Hillary Clinton, considering he had eight other Republicans he could have gone after?
Yeah, it's sort of bizarre. It's almost like Giuliani wants to ignore all the Republicans in the room and think about the general election. And I suppose it sort of lifts him up because obviously nothing really inspires Republicans more than talk about Hillary Clinton. But on the other hand, I mean, you look at a guy, Allison, that I know you guys have spoken with, Mike Huckabee, who had another strong debate last night. He's up to 12% in Iowa. And I think people like Giuliani and Romney, they ignore people like Huckabee to their own peril. I mean, while they're busy talking about Hillary Clinton, again, this is a Republican debate. It's about Republicans trying to decide which Republicans are going to be the best candidate. And a guy like Mike Huckabee, who was coming on strong, I think it's a problem at a certain point for Giuliani to sort of ignore people like him.
Okay, I'm giving you the broadcaster one last question with 30 seconds left. Okay. As long as we're talking about Democrats, obviously five Democrats have said that they will not take part in the Michigan primary in January because they moved it on up, violating Democratic Party rules. What do you make of this? Is it smart to leave this open? Hillary Clinton's going to stay in it. Is it smart to leave it open to the Republicans?
I think this is something, I mean, it's all about Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina. The Democrats are terrified of the voters there being mad about a change in order. So the Democrats are simply saying to Iowa, New Hampshire, look, we're going to honor you as being at the beginning. I don't think it matters that much since they'd already said that they weren't going to campaign there. But what it does is it does help the Republicans a little bit because it means the Republicans now have Michigan to themselves. And that could be worth a percentage point or two perhaps in a general election because I think voters in Michigan will remember this.
MSNBC correspondent David Schuster. David, you're great as always. Thanks.
Allison and Luke, always a pleasure to be with you. Have a great show.
Thank you, David. Coming up on the BPP, not chocolate rain, acid rain. Yeah, remember that? The biggest environmental payout in history just went down, more than $4 billion to offset damage allegedly caused by acid rain. We'll find out about that.
We'll explain to you why this is a Shemitah year and about a long-standing religious loophole causing tensions in Israel. This is the Bryant Park Project from NPR News.